Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings, and this season is in full swing. The action is still unfolding, so head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both pro and collegiate sports, this is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sports has to offer. And if you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this one. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. You heard that right. You bet a dollar, you win $100. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State, bet a dollar on them, and cash $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And it is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. Greg, Penn State fans, Penn State team still licking their wounds after this Indiana game, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it, Jim. You know, there was a lot of hype that came in to get ready for this season and a lot of built-up emotion as kickoff neared and then as everyone was readying for game day, and the Lions just weren't able to get it done. You know, there were times when they really did a nice job with, moving the football and getting stops, but there were too many instances where, they weren't able to either get off the field at the right time, or they were so close but no cigar on a number of key pass rushes and things like that, just didn't get home. And of course, Michael Penix Jr. made some incredible plays and some ridiculous throws that sometimes you just got to tip your cap and move on. But yeah, it was certainly a challenging one for Penn State fans, I'm sure. And while they showed some positives, they also showed some reasons to be concerned, and I'm sure we'll get into those throughout the show today. But, the biggest concern, I think, to me is that there were a lot of things that we were kind of just assuming and that we weren't really going to be able to know until kickoff actually got here, because there was no spring camp, there was no open practices, etc. So, we saw some of the things that maybe were concerns kind of played out on the field on Saturday at Indiana.
Before we get to the team concerns, let's get to the two big plays that everyone's been talking about. I just want to get your take on it. Should that last two-point conversion have been good?
Yeah, I have gone back and forth on that so many times, Jim, and here's why. There's a part of me that says, no, it should have been overturned. That should not have been a two-point conversion. Successful two-point conversion attempt, because it did look like that the ball hit the ground first out of bounds before it went before it went on to possibly cross the pylon, or at least the goal line. So I think it was very, very close. I did have a feeling at first that maybe if it should stay, or if, you know, the call should stay on the field one way or the other, if it would have been called the other way, then it should have stayed on the field as no good, and Penn State then of course would have won the game. So I was not terribly bothered by it, Jim. I mean, like I said, it was an extremely close call, and Penn State shouldn't have even put itself in that position to be worried about a two-point conversion try and a controversial ending, but they were, because they weren't able to get off the field enough, and they weren't able to score enough when it mattered, and they were a little bit too stagnant at times on both offense and defense. So I can live with the call. I'm not saying it was a great call or the right call, but looking back on it, I can certainly see why it was made the way it was made.
If you have to make the call, which way do you call it?
Live? I didn't think he was in live, so I would have not called him in on the field. Then again, watching the replay, though, you can see why it was so close.
Definitely. All right. As you said, they should not have been in that position. But the fact that they were, first of all, we should point out to many of our listeners, if you have your DraftKings account, you bet the money line on Penn State, they will credit you back from that for that, which is kind of an interesting take on that. But let's go to the other play that put them in this position, and that was minute 47 left. Indiana has one timeout. Penn State has the ball on the Indiana 14-yard line. Devin Ford scores the touchdown, pretty much the only way outside of a fumble that Penn State's going to lose this game. James Franklin gave us an answer, kind of, and we're recording this prior to his weekly meeting with the media. So based on what we heard on Saturday, did the coaching staff say, Devin Ford, do not score a touchdown?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt they told him that. I think Pat Freiermuth said that it was discussed on the sideline. And I think James tried so hard in his postgame news conference to not throw Devin Ford under the bus, and with good reason. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, Jim, that they said to him, look, and they said to everyone on the field, do not score a touchdown. It doesn't matter if you can walk in. It doesn't matter if you're wide open. Because as James Franklin said, you know, Indiana's chart told them that the only chance or the best chance that they had to win was to allow Penn State to score. And Penn State's chart said the best chance we had to preserve this lead is to run the clock out and not give Indiana a chance to have the ball back. So there is simply no doubt in my mind, Jim, that that they were all told what the plan was on the sideline before they went out there. But I think it also must be extremely hard, you know, to see, you're taught your whole life, Jim, to go into the end zone. You're not taught to fall over on the football field. You're taught to, you see a path to the end zone, you do everything you can to get there. And so it must be extremely hard to be in that position. And then all of a sudden you're supposed to remember to fall over. So I think it was just a mental lapse from a guy who played pretty well and played more than I think most people expected him to after Noah Cain went out. And, you know, that was part of the problem, too.
Greg, when the play occurs in this situation with a minute 47 left, first of all, I thought it was risky even to hand off the ball because there's a chance for a fumble there. Do you think it's maybe threading the needle a little bit too much when you're at the 14-yard line, you're telling the running back, run hard, try to get a first down, but stop after you get to the 4-yard line? That's not a big margin of error between getting a first down and going into the end zone. So
correct,
that
yes.
that was my concern there. And should they have not just taken a knee, never handed the ball off?
Yeah, that probably would have been the easiest way out, Jim. I mean, again, you know, when you look at how much time was left on the clock and you look at Indiana's timeout situation, I think they would have had a little bit of time left, but certainly not a lot. So, yeah, I just look at it as, you know, again, that Devin Ford just falls over. We're not questioning whether Penn State should have just kneeled it or not. So, I mean, we've talked about this a lot before with Penn State. You know, there's a lot of times you can blame the coaching staff, and I'm sure we can do that at some point later today, for not putting guys in the right position or the best position to win. And we've seen that happen before. But at the same time, we've also seen instances where the coaching staff tells the guys what to do and they don't always go out and do it. And why that's the case over and over, year after year, I don't know. But I think there's no question that it's what caught Penn State off guard this time around, and put them in a bad position when they needed, you know, the best players to do the best execution to seal the game. They instead did the opposite of that, and it ended up costing them.
Let's take a look at some of the other things that they did. One other coaching decision that struck me was at the end of regulation, when they went to kick the long field goal, there were still, I believe it was 8 seconds left, and it was third down. What about running a play, and this wasn't just hindsight, I was saying this as it was happening, why not run a quick play, a quick out, try to get 5 more yards? There's a huge difference between, say, a 52-yard field goal and a 58-yard field goal. What did you think of that decision?
Yeah, I didn't really understand that either. I mean, I kind of do get the idea of, okay, let's just get out there, kick it, and see what happens. But at the same time, Jim, I was very, very confused at the moment about why they didn't try maybe get 4 more yards, 3 more yards, 6 more yards. I mean, it was hard to tell from the TV angle, but I don't think that kick missed by much. Maybe 5 yards at most, and maybe that was even too many. It was hard to tell from the view that they show, but it's not like he missed it by 10, 15 yards. So, yeah, if they would have, and again, it's easy to nitpick in hindsight, but yeah, if you do go and pick up a few more yards there, then I think you have a chance to, I think you have a real chance to then make that kick and you win the game and you don't even have to worry about 2-point conversions and overtime and everything else. So, yeah, it was a day where Penn State was just not crisp in any aspect, whether it be at the offense execution, defense execution, special teams play, coaching decisions, coaching adjustments, thing like that. They just weren't sharp. And because of that, I think that it was, again, a situation where they put themselves in a bad spot kind of over and over again, and it finally just caught up to them.
Another decision that was made, and we've talked about this quite a bit during this very long off season, was the use of Will Levis and how they would do that in short yardage situations. They chose to do it twice with terrible results. Is that a reflection on that decision, or just plain poor execution?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, I saw that Tommy Stevens kind of had a retort for somebody on social media over the weekend when they brought up the fact that they just don't like the idea of bringing in your backup quarterback there who's cold on the bench into that kind of a situation. And I can't say that I'm, completely against it at this point. It's what Kirk Ciarocca was brought here to do, to try some new things and to implement the ideas that he thinks are best for Penn State. And I think he thought that those calls were best for Penn State. But I think it also is definitely tough that you ask your guy to come in, again, cold, not have had any preseason, snaps live, obviously Sean Clifford didn't either, but he had much more game experience. So you can lean on that some, but yeah, I think that's just a tough spot to put the backup quarterback in, and the outcome indicates why.
I have been an advocate all along of using Will Levis in this way. I think in a short yardage situation, he's well equipped to handle it. The problem I had on those two plays is you've got to be prepared to bring, if you're going to run this type of play where you bring in the backup quarterback, you've got to be ready. And if you take too much time and get that kind of penalty, that just shows they were not prepared. They were not prepared and ready to do that. That should have been the case. And on the fumble, one of the things that I don't think was pointed out was Will Levis was running right, but carrying the ball in his left arm, which exposed it to the defender. So a very poor execution, I think, on both those plays. That is it for quarter number one. We are going to continue the conversation when we get back for quarter number two.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. Get in on all the football action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.